Yeah. Let's take them back.
Welcome to a special five-part Inquirer Sports podcast series. I'm Paul Daner Jr. One player at a time, I'm transporting you back a decade to a season when the Cincinnati Bengals dismissed 15 years of losing to become AFC North champs and most exciting team in the NFL. And man, did this city ever love them. It ended when Kimo von Olhoffen became a household name in the houses of tortured Cincinnati sports fans. For that year, though, the 05 Bengals entered the realm of most popular teams in Cincinnati history. This is their story.
I'm Raps MVP, and I ain't going nowhere, so you can get to know me.
These are the love of the underdogs on top, and I'm gonna shine, homie, until my heart stops.
Go ahead, envy me. I'm Raps MVP, and I ain't going nowhere, so you can get to know me.
All right, in the latest, the last and final edition of our 2005 Bengals Series podcast. Welcome in my next guest, who you can't talk about the 2005 Bengals without talking to him. 35,365 yards, 224 touchdowns. Of course, currently the quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals, was the number one overall draft pick of the Bengals in 2003. Carson Palmer, thank you for joining me, man.
Thanks for having me on, Paul. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. No problem. Well, it's, you know, we talk about this 2005 season. It's kind of funny we're talking about the 2005 season because you're coming off of a ACL rehab on a season when you were having a great year again. It's kind of a snake bit trend, a terrible trend you're starting there.
Yeah, I'm actually really good at tearing ACLs. If anybody out there wants some advice on how to get it done, I'm the guy to talk to.
Yeah. Well, congrats, though, on your rehab, you know, making it back to the point you did. You know, obviously that was a huge hurdle for you to clear, to feel like you're feeling good for this season coming off the injury, last year.
Yeah, I mean, I feel good. Still have a little way to go. Another month or so, it's on, I guess, at that 9-month threshold, which typically is kind of the point where it says, all right, you're good to go. But I feel good to go now, and still have another couple weeks before training camp starts, but I'm feeling great and ready to roll.
Yeah. Well, you know, just running back, I want to kind of start this by going back to when you were drafted in 2003. You know, so many of the vets that I talked to discussed their need to convince young guys that the Bengals could shake that old reputation of, you know, coming off of so many years of losing. And did you feel like when you came in, I mean, you had a lot of clout, maybe different for you and your circumstances, as a quarterback and a top draft pick, but did you need some self-convincing sort of that the Bengals could be a winning franchise like the one which ended up evolving in 05?
No, I mean, I kind of felt when I was coming out, I just remember I just all the negativity, you know, you hear all the negative talk. And, I remember that, but I also remember the time just being so young and naive thinking, oh, that's fine. Well, I'll change that. I'll turn that around. You know, being so young and not having any NFL experience whatsoever, I think it's probably pretty natural for most guys to feel that. When you do go into that situation.
Yeah, and, you know, you go into, was there a moment, you know, between 03 and the start of 05, whether it was camp that year or previous year, when you felt that you started to see, you know, that momentum towards what became, particularly offensively, towards what became that sort of offensive juggernaut in 05?
You know, I remember at one point during, at the beginning of training camp, Chad had said, Chad had guaranteed that we make the playoffs. And I remember everybody was so, like, taken back by it. And I can't believe he said that. And there was so much talk of him just saying that. And I remember at the time just being like, man, he's not talking about, all he's talking about is making the playoffs. There's a bunch of teams that make the playoffs. That's not that big of a statement. But But then and there, it was such a big deal that he had made that statement and made that guarantee. From the outside, everybody thought it was so shocking. But I think on the team, everybody was like, yeah, I mean, as long as we go out and win, you know, 10, 11, 12 games, we'll be in. So from the outsider's perspective, I felt like everybody was so taken back by him saying that. But within the team, I kind of feel like everybody thought, yeah, you know, we probably should. You know, let's go to work and make it happen.
Yeah. How much that year, and I've heard this from a couple of different people talking about Chad's influence, and kind of in that same way, where when you're a franchise that had gone through what the Bengals had gone through, they needed that kind of guarantee, that kind of swagger, someone to say those things and have that confidence. How much did he kind of drive that in kind of helping all, maybe you think everybody else, see that same light of what you're talking about, that's what you guys should be doing?
Yeah, I mean, those kind of expectations and, you know, that kind of talk, at the time, only came from the players, and it was only expected by the players. I don't think the organization or anybody else there had that kind of feeling. You know, if we didn't feel like that as players, nobody else did. And, you know, it was good for Chad to come out and say that because, you know, the players, I think, kind of felt it. But that's the only place you felt that was from within the actual players.
Yeah. How much, because you go from 04 to 05 and the offense took such a serious leap in production. How much did it advance in complexity from 04 to 05, in your opinion, that made such a dramatic difference?
Yeah, I don't think the personnel-wise, I don't think the offense changed much. Definitely from a scheme standpoint, I don't think we changed at all. I think it was, you know, it's the same offense coordinator, the same playbook. We just got better at running the offense, really. I mean, as simple as that sounds, I think that's all that happened is you just get another year of experience. You know, a young quarterback in his second year running the offense, and then a bunch of players in their maybe third, fourth year running the offense. Guys just got better at running the offense, very simply.
Yeah. Well, you know, do you remember the first, when you first found out that Chad had started a list of DBs trying to cover him?
I always just enjoyed Chad. You know, those things that he would do, whether it was that or, you know, sending, I forget what he sent, but he sent the DB, oh, he sent the, like Pepto-Bismol to a group of defensive backs on another team. Just the funny things that he did that everybody was, you know, so shocked of. It was just funny. I mean, it was nothing more, nothing less than just being funny. It wasn't, you know, it really wasn't that disrespectful. It was just funny. It wasn't distracting. It was funny. It wasn't all these things that some people put words around. It wasn't correct. What was correct is it was just funny. And you went about your business, you went about your job, and you saw what Chad was doing, you laughed. You stopped laughing, and you kept doing your job.
Yeah. Did that help in a lot of ways of keeping you guys really loose and keeping it such a fun locker room? That's one thing a lot of guys talked about was just how much fun it was that year. And granted, winning brings a lot of that, but it was just one of those teams where the team chemistry is so good. I mean, how much do you think that type of thing was a part of it?
You know, I think that definitely helps and helped. But, you know, we won because we played good football, you know, for the most part. We scored a lot of points. We scored points early and fast and made teams throw the ball on us early. And we capitalized when teams made mistakes on defense. We got tons of turnovers because we put so much pressure on teams in the first and second quarter that they felt like they had to play get up. You know, play catch up from right there. And we played, you know, we were ball hawking on defense. I felt like there were so many guys that could make plays on the ball in the secondary. And, you know, offensively, we were forcing teams to throw the ball up so much that those tip balls that sometimes hit the ground or the ones that go right through the DB's hands, those just didn't happen that year. We just capitalized on all of those opportunities on defense. And it was a great formula for us. Go out, score early, make them throw the ball, and then make play when the ball's in the air and get us the ball back and let us score again.
It's pretty remarkable when you think about it. That team had 31 interceptions, and over the last, you know, ever since Marvin Lewis era here, since in 03, the most any other team has had here is 20. You know, I mean, it's just, you're right. It was every ball just got picked, and it just, some years the ball just kind of goes your way. It seemed like so many things were just going your way that year. Was that kind of the feel, that it just had that feel after a while of things are just going our way? This is going to be one of those special rides.
You know, I guess looking back at it now, you kind of do realize that the ball just seemed to bounce our way more often than not. But at the time, I don't think we really thought about it. We just thought that's how we play. You know, we're going to go out, we're going to score 14 points in the first quarter, hopefully 10 more in the second quarter, and by halftime, hopefully have 2 turnovers on defense, just because we're forcing people to not play their game, you know, to not run the ball, to get out of their play action stuff, have to drop back and just throw it. You know, at the time, I think that was kind of our formula, and that was just kind of how we played and what we expected. And I don't think we ever felt like, oh man, we got lucky there. Oh man, the ball sure bouncing, you know, our way right now. We just kind of felt like that's how we play.
Yeah. You know, it's so easy to talk on that team about Chad and TJ and Rudy, who was going off, but how much did Chris Henry change the dynamic of what you guys could do offensively?
Oh yeah, I mean he was special. You know, probably one of the most physically gifted receivers I've ever played with, college, NFL, a bunch of teams. I mean he was fast and sudden, and he was quick for being so tall. He had such long arms and just such a knack he just understood football. It's just something that he got. He just understood how to get open and how to get his body, contort his body to get himself to that open hole or that open zone up ahead of him and slow himself down and get himself open. And then he just had that gear. I mean, I've never forget the one ball I'll never forget throwing Chris. Was in San Francisco on Thursday Night Football, and I just dropped back and just turned around and chucked it. And we were all out of whack on offense, and just guys were all over the place, and just one of those games we were just totally out of sync, and I just turned back and kind of frustration and had to move around the pocket and just chucked one up, and right when it left my hand, I thought I threw the ball 20 yards over Chris's head, and he just somehow, it was like somebody hit fast forward on TiVo. He just somehow got to a ball and scored like a 75, 80-yard touchdown, whatever it was. But more than anything, all the great things he did, he just had that gear that if you could have timed him in a 40-yard dash in that gear that he could hit when the ball was in the air, he'd be the fastest guy in the NFL.
Especially in the red zone with Chris, I mean, you always knew that you had that as the safety net. Was that kind of the case where you always felt like you could just throw it up and Chris, because Chris just had a way of kind of being able to go get it over the top with his height?
Yeah, I mean, he, especially in the back of the end zone, you know, that back 2 yards of the end zone is the least part of the end zone that's covered, because guys just kind of want to sit about 4, 5, 6 yards deep in the end zone and, you know, force you to throw it underneath and rally the ball underneath. But he worked that back line so well. And, you know, he was 6'4", but he had that wingspan that felt like you were, as long as you kept it underneath the rim, if you felt like you were just throwing it at the rim of a basketball hoop, He would go up and get it at around 10 feet in the air, and not many DBs could go up there and play with him at that level. And he just had that kind of long Gumby body that he could be running around the back end of the end zone and somehow get pushed, whatever it was, somehow come down and contort his body to keep 2 feet in. He caught a bunch of touchdowns along that back end of that end zone.
You know, you were even a veteran quarterback often struggles when there's so many weapons and keeping everybody happy and managing those personalities. As a young guy in the league, how did you keep everybody happy? How tough was that on a regular basis, trying to keep the ball going to enough people, keeping everybody kind of on board with what was going on?
Well, for the most part, if you're winning, guys are going to be happy, and even if you're winning and guys aren't happy, it's really difficult for guys to show their unhappiness. They just kind of naturally act happy even if they're not happy. So, you know, when you're winning, it's just kind of like, well, if you're upset, then you're being selfish. So everybody just kind of falls in line and acts happy, even if they may not be. But really, I mean, with just the different types of guys and the different personalities we had, you just got to be yourself. And I think that's all I was trying to do, is not trying to be Mr. Rah-Rah, Mr. Team Leader guy, Mr. This, Mr. That. It's really just be yourself and find ways to win games. And you know, everything else kind of works itself out. And I think that's pretty standard in just about every sport, every professional sport, is find ways to win and everybody's happy and gets along good.
Yeah. That season, I'm just going to run down some of your numbers here real quick. I'm sure you don't mind. Your completion percentage was 67.8. These were all career bests for you. You had 32 touchdowns. Your lowest interception percentage in a full season, you only had 12 picks. You're a pass rating of 101.1, obviously still a Bengals record. Your adjusted net yards per attempt was 7.26. It was essentially the best single season by a Bengals quarterback in history. At one point, you had 11 of 12 games with a passer rating over 100. Was that just one of those? Does that still even now feel like the most kind of in the zone run that you've had with an offense in your career?
You know, it really doesn't feel like that, to be honest. You know, I can't help but think of the games we missed on things. I'll never forget the out and up, the seven pump we ran on D'Angelo Hall. You know, a number of things crossed. You know, those things don't cross my mind. I remember opportunities that I missed or plays we missed on. But I remember great plays. You know, like I said, the play to Chris Henry. I remember a spin move T.J. Houshmandzadeh made against the Vikings where I think he may have spun. He pulled two spin moves on one play and found his way in the end zone. Those are the things I remember. You know, the terrible towel that TJ pulled out when we beat Pittsburgh and Pittsburgh for the division. You know, just, you know, playing against Kitna in Detroit when we beat Detroit and actually clinched the division. You know, all those are the things I remember that stick out. You know, you really don't think or remember statistical things. Or I never really remember feeling in the zone whatsoever. I just remember just playing and seeing those things happen, the plays guys made and the excitement we had as a team.
You talked about a lot of those moments. I mean, was there one point or one of those moments like the ones you talk about or a game where it was when you kind of remember thinking, okay, this team is going to make a run. They're going to make a Super Bowl run.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, the game in Pittsburgh where TJ had like an amazing a go ball that threw him, and he like tipped it up to himself and caught it in the end zone, and two guys were around him and kind of fell at his feet. Chris Henry had an amazing catch on a touchdown where he just high pointed the ball, went up and got it, and fell on the pylon. Rudy Johnson's kind of burst at the end of the Pittsburgh game to seal the game for like a 20-yard touchdown. You know, and Pittsburgh was Pittsburgh at the time. I mean, that was the best defense in the league and probably the best defense I've ever played against. And we went in and on their turf and did whatever we wanted up and down the field. And I remember after that game thinking, if this is the best in the league, then we got a really good shot at it.
Yeah. What was the celebration like in Detroit when you guys clinched the division? I mean, it had been 15 years since the Bengals had gone to the playoffs. And I know you guys were a new inclination. You felt like that was something that should happen. But what do you remember about that night and the celebration when you guys did officially clinch the playoffs in the division?
It's just, you know, I remember it not being a real big deal. I remember it just being, all right, let's get the next one done. I think we still had a game or two left in the season. And I, you know, I just, you know, remember feeling like there's a lot of business left, you know, and I remember the locker room feeling like, all right, we got these cool hats and these cool t-shirts and this is great and all, but we got a long way to go. It wasn't like we had, you know, had arrived or like, oh man, we had, you know, cleared this huge hurdle. I mean, that was what the organization had to deal with. Because as far as players, most of us hadn't been there for very long. So all that history didn't mean anything to us. All that meant to us was that we got a couple more games to play before we get to the playoffs and let's stay healthy and let's give this thing a run.
Yeah. The other interesting element of that season was just the fever that occurred around you guys within the city. The city that loved football but had really forgotten that fact because of what had happened over the previous 15 years. It seemed like it sort of fell in love with football again, and they rallied around that team. Still to this day, I think, is recognized as one of the most popular teams in Bengals history, if not the most, even up there with teams that went to the Super Bowl. You were familiar with crowds and rabid fan bases. I mean, you've seen that, you know, being a quarterback at USC and everything else. But was there any time from that season where you remember even yourself being kind of blown away at sort of the fever that had become Bengals football during the course of that season?
No, I mean, not at all. I had only been there a couple years, so I didn't know the history or have any feel for the history. All I thought was, man, these fans are amazing. I mean, that's just how it was. There was obviously being in year two or three there, I hadn't experienced all the years that you're talking about. But after that year, it was just on. I mean, I'm sure it's still the same. I mean, the games are sold out. The place is rocking. When that song comes on before kickoff, the place is just extremely loud. Fans just love their football, whether it's Ohio State or the Bengals. The fans just love football, and that's all we knew. You know, as players, you love that. You know, and I'm sure they're still just as excited in 2015 as they were in 05, but we had that place rocking, and it was a tough place to play, and I'm sure it's still that difficult because people just – in the Midwest and especially in Ohio, people just get football. They understand it. They understand all the intricacies, all the little rules. The football knowledge in Ohio is unlike probably any other state or most states, I should say.
Yeah, yeah. You know, eventually this season comes to – we got to go to the dark moment. In the playoff game against Pittsburgh, I guess I'll just ask this: what from that whole day, from the whole day, what moment sticks out to you most about that day of the playoff loss to Pittsburgh?
I'll just never forget having to lay down in the back of my wife's Suburban as the game was still going on. I had been carted off the field. I went through the MRI. They looked at my knee. It was shredded. I didn't even shower. They just loaded me up in the back and gave me some medication and you know, some ACE bandages and some ice and all the things I had to do over the next 5 or 6 hours as I got ready for the surgery. But I just remember laying down in the back of the Suburban and driving away from Paul Brown Stadium and looking back at the stadium is, I don't know, it was the third or fourth quarter, whatever it was. And the place, you know, the lights are on. You can see the scoreboard. And, you know, all the cars are still in the parking lot. And I just remember, man, just laying in the back of the car, just thinking, man, I can't believe this season's over. Because you get to the playoffs, you get through the regular season, you get to the playoffs, and the playoffs are here, and there's all this excitement, and you're talking about all these teams, who has a chance, you know, who's got the best shot. Then the game happens, and you just don't feel like, man, the season could be over tonight. And you get this new opportunity. You know, the playoffs start and you have this new opportunity. And all of a sudden, this new season, and it could be, you know, 6 weeks long. It could be – and then all of a sudden it ends, and it's such a weird, eerie feeling. And I just remember being in the back of the cars. We were driving up 75 North, and I was just looking back at the stadium as the game was still going on. Just couldn't believe. I couldn't believe I was laying in the back of the car as our teams in the third quarter, and my season was over.
Yeah, were you listening to the game at that point? Like, was it on the radio, or were you just in silence?
No, I was listening to the game as we drove off.
Yeah, I mean that. Where does that? I mean, does that rank as the hardest moment to get over in your career?
I've been through a lot in my career. It's definitely one of them. You know, there's everybody's career has ups and downs and highs and lows. I don't know if that was the lowest point, but it was tough to get over, but you know, you got to get over it. And I went through it again. It happens and it stinks and it is what it is. And you just put your head down and you go back to work and you hope for another shot to get to the playoffs.
Yeah. When you, I've asked every single person I've talked to this question. When you look back on that season now, do you remember it as a success because of all the barriers that you broke and everything you guys did, or do you look at it more as a failure because of the fact that it was an immediate playoff exit?
No, I mean, I look at it as a failure. You know, we were trying to win a Super Bowl. We were doing that as players. We all looked at it as we were trying to win a Super Bowl. I mean, from the organization standpoint, I'm sure they thought it was a success. But, you know, as a player, you're not trying to get to the playoffs. You're trying to win a Super Bowl, and we didn't do it.
Yeah. Is it? Do you still feel about that as the one that got away? Is that what that season kind of is now because of how it ended for you personally?
No, I mean, you know, everyone's the one that got away, you know?
Mm.
I mean,
yeah.
It depends on when you start thinking that. You can start thinking that in week 2, you can start thinking that week 12, you can start thinking that week 15, you can start week 6, or it can be the playoffs. You know, you go through a lot of that. I mean, at this last knee injury, we were 9-1 and on a roll, and number one seed in the NFC, and then boom, I blew my knee out. And that, you know, that's because it's probably the most recent and because we were on such a good roll, I think, of, you know, the one that got away. But, you know, I really don't think about that much. I don't think about 05 in that way as much.
Yeah. Is it easier to deal with it now, you know, being because you're so far removed from it, or is it harder because now you, at this point in your career, you realize how hard it is to get that team together and have the special run going and be in position? Does it make it easier or harder?
They're all so difficult. I mean, every year is so hard, and every year presents so many different crazy challenges and challenges that you see coming and challenges that you don't see coming. You know, each one's different, and that one had its own unique and individual challenges and things that we had to overcome as a team and things we easily overcame and things we never overcame. But, you know, each one is so unique and so different.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Carson, I know you helped deliver a pretty fun ride, not just that season, but during your entire career. And, you know, I certainly appreciate you taking some time to, you know, during this is the downtime. I appreciate you taking some time to chat with me and churn up some old memories for you.
Yeah, no problem. It's fun to relive those memories and those guys that you play with. It's always fun. And, you know, you threw out a couple names I hadn't thought of in years. And you know, there's always those blasts from the past. And I wonder where they are now or what they're doing now or how things shook out for him. So it's fun to think about those times. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, Paul.
Yeah, absolutely. No problem, Carson. Really appreciate it. And best of luck to you next season. We'll see you around Thanksgiving.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thanks, Paul.
All right. Welcome to the latest edition of our podcast series, catching up with those who are part of the 2005 Cincinnati Bengals. Now, you would think that would mean that we would just run down the list of the Bengals roster from that year, but you really can't talk about the 2005 Bengals season without talking about my guest today, who played 6 seasons with the Bengals, started 36 games, then he had 6 more seasons with the Steelers, started 94 out of the 95 games he played there, and that included all 4 games in a run to the Super Bowl back in 2005. And it's a name that all in the Cincinnati area are very familiar with, Kimo von Ohlhoff. And Kimo, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, hey, you're welcome. You're welcome. Thanks for having me. Cincinnati.
You're currently an assistant coach at Western Oregon University.
How did that come about, just to start at where you're at right now?
I retired 6 years ago. Loved football, but I also worked and had a family, so took a year off, spent 3 years coaching high school football. Loved it. Great kids. Since I was fortunate to play so long, I'm going to take my time. So good fit here at Western Oregon, defensive line coach, going into my second year. Started football all over again, got to pay your dues, you got to learn. So,
yeah. How often do you trot out that Super Bowl ring for your players?
I don't know if you knew me when I was in Cincinnati, but I was always low-key. My daughters play with it, sometimes, but it's wife's got it stored somewhere, I was proud that the guys, the journey, all that stuff was amazing,
Well, this is, as I mentioned before, this is a podcast for the 2005 secret. It's no secret. The biggest reason I wanted to include you is what happened in the playoff game. But I want to start back with your first 6 years in Cincinnati. Was that a frustrating time for you as much as the team struggled to win during your early years?
It was we had good players. We had good coaches. Man, I always thought the Bronx family they've done an amazing job. We had a hard time finding chemistry at times, but hey, there were some great players that I learned from. Boomer, got a chance to play with Boomer Esiason, guys like Anthony Munoz and Max Montoya, Bruce Cesarski, all those old guys. Yeah, and they had great work ethic. They helped the younger guys. They helped me, you had to listen, what they say, but they had some chemistry back then, and I was just so glad to see them turn it around. It was time. The Brown family, they bust their butt. They work their butts off. They do.
What was your, you mentioned how much you liked the organization and had respect for the family, but what was your impression of the Bengals sort of at that time? As far as why that teams then were kind of struggling to really get up to that top level.
Hard to comment on that. There's a whole kind of thing. Ultimately, it came down to they had some top players that didn't produce. You can blame all kinds of reasons about why they didn't produce, but everybody would have picked those players. They were good players. I don't know what mindset, you're talking about that didn't produce, that got it. And that's hard. That's hard for any program, any organization to sustain. And you can't blame them. Sometimes the aura was a little tough, losing. I think may affect, the city and all that. I don't know, but it comes down to players. Yeah, players make plays. And the players they brought in didn't make them.
When did, because you eventually go over and you move over to the Steelers. From the outside looking in then at that point, at what point did the impression of what the Bengals typically had been start to change for you, and maybe even what you could tell from those on the Pittsburgh side of things?
The Browns, the Bengals organization, they were able to at one time put together great teams, sustain those teams, put together a core group of players. And that's the key, core group, a group of 15 to 25 guys that are played together, will be together for a long period of time. That's what they had in the 80s, early 90s. That's what they had 6 years when we went to the playoffs. They had a group of guys that were together for 4 or 5 years. That's what they had in their recent success, is a great core.
That, you know, the 2005 season ended up for the Bengals side really being defined by those games against the Steelers. I mean, when Cincinnati starts off real hot, but you guys come to Paul Brown Stadium and really take it to them, at that point in time, did you kind of feel like you guys, Pittsburgh, had the best team in the AFC North right then?
You know, hey, I tell you what, I don't know if you remember earlier that year, Cincinnati spanked us just a few games before that playoff game.
Right.
It was Carson was on a roll. He just came off of three 400-yard games. It was going to be a dogfight. Both teams were right there. I mean, you know, we had a little bit better record, but they beat us the second game. So it was Carson getting hurt was a factor. You know, that kid should have played. He should have been able to play. He earned the right to play. That was kind of sick. But with him in the game, tell you what, it was anybody's game.
Glad you brought up that game, the game a couple weeks before that in Pittsburgh, because, you know, for that was sort of one, if you, a lot of the Bengals players will talk about that as, you know, one of those where everyone sort of thought at that point, okay, this Bengals team can really make a run, because Pittsburgh had been seen as the bully of the division, and really you knew what those types of games were all the time. And to go in there with a win, did you guys from the Steelers side during that game, the one in Pittsburgh where they beat you guys, kind of was it a turning point for you guys to think that the division is you know, sort of slipping away, maybe a temporary passing of the torch?
Well, you know, again, it goes back to, you know, players make plays. Cincinnati, I mean, they had Chad, they had TJ. They had two running backs that they was going in and out. And they had, and Palmer was playing great. So when he got playmakers, we knew they could make plays. And they made them. And they made them against us first game. Or the second game during the season. And they can't continue to make them all year long. We learn from it, you know. No, that would have been, I would have liked to see that game play out with Carson. That would have been fun.
Yeah. Did you guys ever see the video of TJ Uchmanzada wiping his feet with the terrible towel after the win in Pittsburgh? Did that ever surface in your guys' locker room?
Oh, no. No, that's just good competition. People having fun. Not really. Chad would sometimes go overboard on TV, you know? But, yeah.
Right. So let's do this. Let's go through the play that you had to hit on Carson from your angle. How did that play evolve? What happened for you?
Oh, man. Been a long time. The defensive lineman, she tried to do everything, anything as violent as you can to get the quarterback. You got guys pushing on you. And even if you've fallen, you still have to make an effort to the quarterback. You still have to finish the play. Whether you're on your hands and knees. He just got caught in a bad position. He put it down, locked it, turned to throw, you know, one of the million type things right on the hit. Most other hits, you know, he would have just rolled with it. As a player, you don't know about it until you hit a pop, you know. Other than that, you just reaching for cover. That deal.
Yeah. And after the play, I mean, it was pretty wild. And I know a lot of Bengals players talked about the shock, and not only in their eyes, but even in your eyes and some of your teammates' eyes. Was it just a complete shock when you had sort of realized what was going on?
You know, hopefully a lot of the fans hear this part, and this is actually the cool part. there is a tremendous amount of respect between the Pittsburgh Steelers organization and the Cincinnati Bengals organization, and most organizations. But the competitive side, the full wins, the playing to win, you know, that gets separated by wins and losses. But the players, the coaches, there's a tremendous amount of respect, and nobody wants to see anybody get hurt. Nobody on the Steelers team, and I know that for nobody on the Bengals team. And so it was, it's always going to be a shock, I think, when stuff like that happens, you know. You could kind of tell it was serious right off.
I mean, that's just it. You never wish any harm on anyone. Was that tough to hear, you know, when you found out that he wouldn't return and sort of the extent of the injury? How did that?
Well, honestly, you know why I was shocked, why it was tough for me? So I heard him pop. I mean, it sounded like a gunshot, man, right? Because it's right by my ear, you know? I knew right off it was gone. So, yeah, that, you don't want that. So sometimes that can get overwhelming, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was gone. I mean, yeah, there was no doubt. They could have asked me what happened. I would have said, well, four of them broke.
After the play, everyone gets, you know, the emotions of the playoff game are already high, and then something like this happens and they see their guy hurt. Was that because there was a lot of, you know, back and forth and words and pushing and shoving? Was that hard to put aside or kind of tell them, hey, I didn't try to hurt your guy, but yet still you knew they had the frustration, they were coming after you? Was that kind of as confusing as it got for you at that point?
I think with any player, feel bad after the game, but you know, as the next play is the next play. I think that's common amongst all pros. I think that's what every pro's, you know, is the ability to sustain a focus and not like that kind of stuff get in.
I remember, you know, I talked to Richie Bram, who was a center, one of your former teammates, was a center of that team, and just kind of talked about that. And talking about that play and you in particular, you said, you know what I remember most about Kimo is that they will play no matter how we'd be going at it, in training camp or in a game against each other or on the same team. I always remember looking up and always seeing a smile on his face. And he was one of the true nice guys, and it sort of was his message about what he remembers. And but yet, because of that play, you know, people had this negative. Did you ever catch any blowback from Cincinnati fans or experience of being frustrated by that, but all of a sudden it seemed like you were cast almost as a villain, even though you had played sort of the opposite role, even with the Bengals and otherwise, and even with the Steelers?
First of all, I love Richard Bram, man. Now, you know about a Bengals, I always remember Richard Bram, because he's one of them true pros. Blue collar, hard working. Anyway, after the game, you get some immediate stuff, you know. You understand, you know, tough thing for Cincinnati. That was the first time in a long time. You know, when you talk about stuff that can happen, that was a bad deal, so they took it hard at first. But all in all, man, you know, I meet a lot of Bengals fans, and I mean, they're all cool with it. They all know, you know, part of the game. What was nice was Carson came back strong, too. Probably better, you know, for a year or so. Yeah, I love it. The night of, after the game, you know, I stayed in Cincinnati with the family. Had some friends there. And that's what it was.
Well, obviously, that was a pretty incredible run for you guys to the Super Bowl that year. You go on all the way. What was the night of winning the Super Bowl like for you, man?
That was fun. That was, like you said, the journey was what you remember, you know, having to win 9 games in a row, and, play. I got, Super Bowl, best game in the world, and I'm playing against Steve Hutchins and Walter Jones. Probably the best taco and guard ever to play right in front of me. So it was competitive and fun. Yeah, that's what we're looking for. Can't get any better than that.
Well, Kimo, I appreciate you taking some time to chat with me. I know that around Cincinnati, your name may be remembered, but I wanted to make sure I gave you the opportunity because so many of the people that I talked to from the team talked about how it's unfortunate that anybody would ever think about him in a negative light because it was just a circumstantial thing that happened. And even though what resulted ended up really shaking the core of the fan base, it could have happened to anybody. And I know that you never looked at it as anything that was more than just a circumstantial play that was just unfortunate.
No. And like I said, Carson, he deserved to play in that game. It was one of those. That was for him personally, that was tough. Ultimately, that was the best team in the NFL, too, he was playing.
Thank you very much for joining me, man. I really appreciate it, and best of luck to you and everything out of Western Oregon. I hope it goes really well for you.
All right, man. Thank you.